We just want to have some fun and do apologize for everything Body says.
No worries.
And
did I say that out loud?
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a WNBL special of the Bottoned and Brad Show. No, it's Brad and Body Podcast. It all is. Hello, Bottoned.
It's Bottoned, for Christ's sake.
No, it's Bottoned. Right. It's Bottoned. Honestly. It's Bottoned. My wife's Hungarian. I still can't say it properly. So,
it's Nicole.
Yeah, no, don't ask me how. Geez. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to today's guest because, as you we wanted to have her on for a fair while. So
absolute
I'll let you do
legend.
The intros.
Absolute legend of our sport. Born in Bendigo, of the places we love. Attended the Institute of Sport in the early 90s for a couple of seasons. Has played professional basketball for over 20 years. Won 3 silver medals, of course, at the Sydney Olympics, which was, wow, love those games. And then 04 and 08, but also attended her 4th Olympics, winning bronze in London. She's played for multiple teams in the WNBL, Melbourne a couple of times, Adelaide, Bendigo, and she's won 3 championships. Now, Body, you'll know this, 2013 and 14, but I'm pretty sure it was 94 in the double OT game against the Tigers when she was playing for Adelaide.
Exactly. That was one of the worst games of all time until about the last quarter, and then it became one of the great grand finals of all
time
when it went down to the wire. And here's the other quick one.
Yeah, go on.
When she won her 2 championships with Bendigo, they were over Townsville, which is coached by Chris Lucas at the time, who she's now working with at Melbourne Boomers.
Fantastic. Well, we don't need to speak to her now, so thank you very much, Botti. Once she's done all that, she's then played in the WNBA for Phoenix, Minnesota, and of Los Angeles Sparks, and also played in Germany, France, and Russia. In her Opals team, she was simply described as the team's pocket dynamo. She's currently the assistant coach at the Melbourne Boomers. It is such an honour to have the guru, the goat of Opals, with, of course, Lauren. Christy Harawa, thank you so much for joining us. It's awesome to have you on.
My God, what an intro. We can stop now, right?
Did I? Please tell me I got all that right, because usually Body's like, you've done something wrong. Did I get it right?
You did get it right.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, I'm going to go first and then Bottoned come in eventually. We always do this because I want to know. How did it start? Was it family? Like someone, what made you pick up a basketball?
Yeah, it was family, of course. In Bendigo, if people know the Bendigo Stadium, back in the day, there used to be just the 2 old courts up the top before
they
built them.
They were freezing in winter. Oh, they were cold.
Yes. So, and my mum actually owned the canteen there and used to clean the stadium. So, so we used to, me and my sister, she's older than me, and dad used to be up there coaching, and we used to pretty much hang around the basketball stadium every night, and there was a mattress at the back of the canteen, so if we ever had to go to sleep, we could stay there until we were ready to go home. So that's
cool.
How I got started in basketball,
Brilliant. Love it.
How often did you hear, Christy, people say, oh, you're too small, you're too short for this game, this is a big person sport? Did you cop that a lot?
I didn't cop it a lot, but mum and dad, like, there's a lot of things I don't remember when I was younger, but mum and dad told me a story that there was a coach. I think I was playing, God, it could have been CBL back in those days, like with the Lady Braves, and the coach at the time said I'd never play for Australia. So I think dad took me out of the team straight away, then started to bring me down and play with Melbourne Tigers on a Friday night. And like back in those days, I mean, I'm not sure what it is like now. There was a big difference between country basketball and metropolitan basketball, especially here in Victoria.
No, it was in Sydney. Absolutely in Sydney the same.
I think for me to get the competition I needed, dad started to drive me down to Melbourne every Friday night. And back in those days, there was not a highway at all. You had to go through every little town to get to Melbourne. And so I did that from pretty much top age under 14s all the way through. And of course, still played with the Bendigo Braves and the juniors if we had a country championships or anything like that. I still did that sort of thing. So I know my last year playing, I think it was under-18s at the time, bottom age under-18s maybe, I can't remember, but I was doing my year 11 here in Victoria, VCE, and at that time, Ray Tomlinson had put me into the Melbourne Tigers senior team, but I was only 15, and I wasn't really playing much, but I was coming down. Once again, back in those days, they used to have the Unreal. It was such a good competition, the VBA, on a Wednesday night. So a lot of the, like, you had Nutter Wadding, which was Michelle Timms and Robin Maher and Shelley Gorman. Like, you know, that competition on a Wednesday night. And then we'd play WNBL on the weekend. So I was coming down Wednesday night. I'd go back home. So it's probably about a two-hour drive at that time with no highways and stuff. And then come back on Thursday night and train with the WNBL team, go home, then come back Friday night to play in the juniors, and we'd stay over Friday night and train Saturday morning. So that was my last year before I went on to the Institute of Sport the next year after.
That is what I call a baller. I love those stories. That is just so, that, it's just what you had to do, isn't it? That's as simple as it was. Yep. It's very similar thing what I had to go through in Sydney, and I remember that. It was just, you just did it. Like, it wasn't about money. It wasn't about, well, hang on, who's going to pick me up? Do I get petrol money? How am I going to do this? Whatever. Do I have to pay fees? You just did it. You did it because you wanted to be the best you could be.
Every Friday night, I used to listen to Simply Red and Pink Floyd, Dad's music, so know it off by heart.
It's funny you say that, because Boddy just had that on before we started. So,
right through the years or however it goes, well, Robin May used to do the same thing. She had to do the same thing from Ballarat, and she was playing out at Dandenong. So that's the story, isn't it? And then, so the good thing is that Ray Tomlinson has been always noted for his ability to spot talent. So let's follow through. So you go to the AIS. Did the opportunity to go play college basketball ever appear in your career?
Yeah, it did. I still remember I was playing with Adelaide at the time. Just sort of really got to Adelaide because when we did back then in 92, 93, I was at the Institute of Sport and I absolutely loved it. And I think it was because there was less travel and you're playing against the best five players in Australia every day. And it was just a great lifestyle. I loved it there. And then got recruited to go to Adelaide the year after I left the Institute. And we'd just been on a tour in 93, my end of my Institute days. And we'd gone to, the West Coast. And I can't remember half the places we went to. So I must have been in Adelaide and I got a phone call and they'd said that they wanted me to go to UCLA. And I thought about it, but I think for me it was all about I think back then college wasn't huge like it is now for the young kids. And I think for me, it was more about, I really want to make the 96 Olympic team. So if I go, I might miss out, that sort of stuff. And I just decided not to do that and go with that path. Cause I was sort of already not established in the WNBL, but I was playing good minutes. And I wasn't like a full on bench player that was just sitting down the end. Like, I was getting minutes to play. And so I decided not to go that path. Right. But you know, some days I look back at it and I think, especially with all the kids that go now, it's like, it would have been a great opportunity because the WNBA was not far after that. And who knows, if I went to college and had a great season, might have got drafted, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I never regret anything that I've done with basketball.
No, you've had a phenomenal career, Christy. So let's talk about the 30-year anniversary, because before you joined Adelaide in 94, 93, you were part of that extraordinary team that's celebrating its 30th anniversary for as the first Australian junior boys, girls, senior men, women to win a gold medal at the FIBA World Under 19 Championship. Run through a couple of the players on that team, so that, because I'm sure Brad will be a bit dazzled when you do.
Ah, amazing group. Like, I think when we went to the 30-year reunion at the weekend, I think we worked out that 8 of us had gone on and been an Opal at some stage. I think six of us had actually played with the Opals at a major tournament. Amazing group. Like, the names that I go through, just superstars like Michelle Brogan, Michelle Chandler, Gina Stevens, Carla Boyd, Joe Hill.
Amazing.
Jenny Whittle, like two-time world championship with me, junior and senior, you know, myself. And then there was a couple of other players like Laura Howlett, Narita Jeffries, that just played more WNBL, but were good WNBL players. So amazing group to go with. And I, like, we had a video back in those days. Technology wasn't great, but a video that I think, I don't know who made it, it was Brownie or it was Phil Brown or it was Ray Tomlinson. And it was a song to Tina Turner, Simply the Best. And, like, we played it at the weekend, and the amount of passing, no dribble handoffs, no pick and roll action. Yeah. It was all passing, inside action, high low, things that have now gone out of the game. It was just pretty to watch. Like, it was, and a group that got along really well. I mean, we were lucky. We got 3.5 years together, where the girls don't even get that these days. And I think we'd played, I think Brownie said at the weekend that we'd won 70 something games and lost 13. And wow, we never, in that 3.5 year preparation, we'd never lost to a junior team. Out of those 13 games that we had lost, they were more to, like, senior national teams or domestic teams. So, and we went on, like, 6 or 7 international tours, and it was a huge preparation, but, you know, an amazing group to be a part of. And a lot of us are still friends today.
Amazing. I've got that many questions that I don't know which one to ask first, but I'm going to go, I'm going to go with one that you started with a little bit, like this. Today's game compared to, you know, 20 years ago's game.
Yeah.
I struggle, you know, I do the commentary and I watch it, and I'll just use the NBL as an example. I just watched the Tasmania Jack Jumpers play old school basketball and destroy the Sydney Kings based on the fact that when they switched, they took onto the block and they cleared out and they did what they did. And now it's all, you know, side screen. Well, as a coach and a player, that you are, you know, arguably the most educated in all of this, how do you sit with all of it?
Yeah, I get frustrated with, I'm with you on this one. I am not big on, and even my dad sits there and he goes, I can't watch it. It's just, it's not the same. And I think the biggest things that have gone out of the game is the inside game. And, but even in saying that, people don't even know how to pass to a post anymore. People don't even know that pass away from the defense, like that sort of stuff. Like dribble handoff. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't mind the pick and roll action, but do it after a set hasn't worked and you've only got so many left on the shot clock that you've got to go into a pick and roll action. Screening angles are not there anymore.
I'm just going to jump in with that, because that's the other thing. I find when people, some teams like to do that, but what they do is they do 6 passes. They're really not looking at anything.
No.
Right, it's past this one side of the court to the other. Oh, we got 6 passes, coach. Right, let's get into that on ball. Yeah. What about the back cut that you could get? The, you know, all of the, they just, I just, oh, I'm just so refreshing, Christy. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, like it's really difficult. And I think the biggest thing is like everybody wants to run the same stuff. And it's like, where are the coaches that have their own imagination that can run sets to get people open? And when you're running that set, everybody in the team knows who we're trying to get it to. But if the defense is switched, then you like
counters,
you know, things like that. Like, wrinkles, counters, however you want to call it. Really gone out of the game. I struggled with it last year when I came back. I took 8 years off and I came back and I was like, I don't understand why people do dribble handoff all the time, because you actually get nothing off it. They just gapping through, get through it, and like you still your defender's still there, right? So why not run a back pick and get a slip, or run a down pick or a stagger, or like what is the, and the amount of people these days that feel like every time they touch the ball they have to dribble.
Yep.
Sometimes just let the ball do the work. Like shift the ball, set a screen for somebody to get them open. Like, it just, those little fundamentals have really gone out of the game today, I think.
I tell my under-14s kids, they're playing with my son, I was like, you do not have to touch every board with the ball.
Yeah.
Right? We know there's boards on the floor. We know there's probably 900 of them on the court.
Yep.
You don't have to dribble on every one of them, right? Let the ball go. So let one more question going on with that. As a coach, do you just think, well, I've got to go down that path because that's the way basketball is and I've got to adapt? Or are you like, no. We're going this way and I'm adapting the players?
Yeah. And I'm going to coach Keylor in the NBL one season next year. Yep. And I will be more about what I grew up with. Like, I really will be. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I might have some of the stuff we do here at the Boomers. I don't mind some of the stuff that Chris has in place. But
I'm just writing down here, Kilo to win NBL one. Okay, good. Sorry, keep moving it. Keep going. Yeah.
Like, I want to have that inside action game. Like, I want love that sort of stuff. Yes. I want flex cuts. I want back cuts. Like, as in a back screen and maybe get a slip. Like, I want that sort of stuff. I don't want the girls to put it on the floor every time they touch it. And you know what? It's about people being patient. I think the biggest thing is you're having players, when they're in the passing position, they're not seeing the defense. They just read the offense. It's like, well, if you see the defense, then you know if the offense is going to be open.
Yep.
So it's just little things like that that I want to be able to teach the group that I'm going to have next season.
I love that. The two things I love telling my kids, number one, watch the chest, because no one can go where the chest doesn't go. Don't watch their head. Don't watch anything else. The chest is where that goes. Look at the eyes and see what they're doing. So I love hearing all of that. But, oh, yeah, I just I do struggle with it, and it's so nice and refreshing to hear that. So it's great.
Well, this is why you're going to be successful, Christy, because you're going to be bringing a point of difference, because you're not going to be doing what everybody else is doing.
I hope so. Like,
Steph Curry's got a lot to answer for, I think.
Doesn't he? What? Doesn't he? What?
Anyway, let's get back to your career, because I'm thinking, but I could be wrong, that the 2006 world championship gold medal, would that be the high point? It would surely have to be the high point of your international career.
Yeah, I think so. Like, in saying that, like, it was funny at the weekend of the junior reunion. It was like, this is so similar to our senior world championships, because it was like 30 years ago, you forget everything nearly, right? But, you know, they talked about,
I forget
how
30 minutes ago, let alone 30 years. Jeez.
They talked about how in our first game, we went to play some African team and they hadn't showed up. This is all the stuff I'd forgotten. So it was like, it wasn't until midnight the night before that we had to play Poland in our first game, and we only beat them by two. So then when they started talk about that, I'm like, this is so similar to my senior world championships, because in our senior world championships, we were meant to play Lithuania. But what happened is they went through a country that had yellow fever and they didn't have that injection. So we didn't end up playing Lithuania. We played a green and gold scrimmage in front of our fans and family. So so very similar, great chemistry in both groups. Both played Russia in the final. So 2006 is a massive highlight for me. And I think a lot of it's got to do with the chemistry that we have. And I think that's what makes it so more enjoyable when you do win things, is how good the team gets along. And I think, like, we had one day together. Like, Lauren went on to the WNBA championship series that year, and I might have gone to five games or whatever they used to do back then, and she arrived a day before we had to play our first game, or 2 days before our first game. Wow. So it's definitely a highlight, but I feel like I have a lot of highlights in my career where I've been very lucky to be involved in a lot of things where we've won them. Like, even my Olympics, like, I can never fault any of my Olympics, even though we didn't win gold, still very special for me.
Well, let's stay there, because that was my next question. I wanted to go to the Olympics now. Obviously Olympics 2004, Athens, Beijing, London. I don't know if you can put one before the other. You know, you ask someone, they're all special in their own little way. It's like asking which kid do you love more? You know what I mean? But to me, I just remember being in Sydney around that Olympics, and the atmosphere is just unbelievable. Talk to me about your four Olympics, but more so the Sydney one. I want to hear how you felt.
Yeah, like, Sydney was very special for me. It was, you know, my first Olympic Games. It was something that I'd always dreamt that I wanted to do. And I think I worked too hard that I started to get niggling injuries. Like, I was an athlete that would work my butt off to get wherever I had to get to, or to be in the best shape that I had to be in. So, you know, for example, like, every year going into an Olympic Games, a year out, I'd start working with my nutritionist to make sure I drop my skin folds, be in the best shape that I possibly could. So I'd do things like that. And for Sydney, I think, you know, I still remember clearly, usually when we go to an Olympic Games, being A for Australia, you come out first. So for Sydney, we came out last, being our home.
Yeah, I remember that. And with Drewy holding the flag. It was awesome. Yep.
And coming through the tunnel, I still remember, like, I had a tear in my eye because I knew that I'd worked my butt off to get there and how special it was. And, yeah, I had a tear. I was standing next to Annie Lefleur. We were walking in together. And, like, I'm sure the whole stadium, I think it was 110,000 fans, were all Aussies. They had socks on their hands, green and gold. It was just amazing. And I think...
I'm getting goosebumps. This is awesome. Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I played... Tom was our coach, Tom Maher. And, like, I was a pretty fit player. And anytime I got to Tom's style of play, you know, I'd last, like, 3 or 4 minutes because it was... He loved where we'd get up and pressure full court and then we'd have to run on everything in offense. And I'm like... So I had to train myself to be able to last longer. And I worked my butt off for about a year where I could actually could sustain it for about 10 minutes. But I remember the first game, I think it was all the emotion, the nerves, the adrenaline. It was like, I only lasted about 3-4 minutes. I'm like, I'm stuffed. I need a sub, you know, like it was just so emotional with it all. But, and we're lucky enough. I think we had played Canada and beat them in the first game. And I just remember in Sydney, like I was, that's where I sort of started to make my mark in the game, I think, and have Tom had respect for me and I had respect for him and started to really build my confidence and have the belief that I could be at this level and be a starter at this level. And I think that even the lead up to the Olympics, I was playing my best basketball that I'd ever played and he put me in the starting five. And I just, as soon as I got that opportunity, I just went with it. And but I remember in the semi-final, I didn't play very well. We played Brazil and I think I had 4 fouls and I just wasn't great. And we're going to our team shoot around the next day, heading into our gold medal game. And Cary Graff turned around and said to me, you need to go and watch your game. We played USA at Melbourne Park or the tennis centre. Remember the men and women played each other?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and I played really well in that game. And Graffy said to me, she goes, you need to go and watch yourself play that game. And I went, as soon as I finished, like, cause I was pretty upset because I didn't feel like I was playing the best that I could. And then I watched that game and I felt that I come out and had a pretty good gold medal game until I actually, I don't know, I think it might've been about, I can't remember if it was like 10 minutes to go or 12 minutes to go. I was on the right side of the floor and just pushed off and sprained the top of my foot and I could no longer go in the game and I was out for about 6 weeks. So, but yeah, amazing, amazing Olympic Games. And I think probably still one of my favourites. Athens was still great. Probably the closest we got to USA, 13 points. I remember in that game, Penny started to get going in the second half and then picked up her fourth. We were starting to get momentum and she picked up her fourth foul and had to go to the bench and that hurt us a bit, but we lost by 13 that game. 08, terrible, terrible. We were shocking. We played USA again and I think we got thumped because I think they were embarrassed. They finished third at the World Championships in 06 and we'd won it. So we had this belief and this confidence within ourselves that we thought we could actually go on and win gold because we just, even though we didn't play USA in the final, at the World Cup, I think we just had that belief and they just smashed us by about 24 or 27, I think it was. So,
wow.
And then London, for me, probably the best game I ever played for Australia was my bronze medal game, my last game. And just me and Lauren just played. We just, I think for me, like I know I was really emotional, probably the semi-final and grand final, the semi-final and the gold, the bronze medal game. And I was, because I knew it was going to be my last. And I just put my headphones on in the bus and I just kept saying to myself, just go out and play like it's your last game. And I did. And, yeah, probably the best I'd ever played for Australia was winning that bronze medal.
Brilliant.
Now, Brad, did you listen to all that stuff that Chrissy just said about the Sydney Olympics? Because that's what you missed because of that restraining order.
I thought that was kept quiet. By the way, just in case you're wondering, Chrissy, that was a restraining order on body. All right, just so you're
we just want to ask you, throw a couple of names at you at this moment before we go to the WNBL. Just throw some names at you and you throw back first thing that pops into your head, whether it's a word or a sentence or anecdote.
Okay.
I'm going to kick it off and we just alternate. The first one, Christy, is Tom Maher.
Oh, his magic tricks.
I'm scared to ask to elaborate.
No, he does. He does. He does magic tricks, Tom.
He does. He has cards with him in his pocket every day, and he would do magic tricks. But unbelievable coach, taught me so much as a player.
Great. Well, I'm going to go to another coach now, and you did mention him before, Ray Tomlinson.
Loud. Very loud.
Great.
Yeah. All right, we're staying with coaches for another minute. You're working now with Chris Lucas.
Chris, what's the best word for Chris?
Serious?
Like, lives and breathes basketball. Just, like, it is his life. Like, just 24/7 basketball.
Yeah, amazing. Love it. Okay.
And serious.
Yeah. One of your good teammates, and I have to ask, Lauren Jackson.
The GOAT. Seriously, the GOAT. One of the best players I've ever played with.
And you know what? Everyone says the GOAT, and it's so true, but it's on and off the court from what it is, isn't it? She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, yep. I've got one more. Michelle Timms.
Oh, character. Just, you know what, Timsy, like, I'll go on a bit about Timsy. Timsy was my idol growing up. So I remember, I think there was a Feeble Championships at Broadie. I was a young kid. She was there, and I went up and got her autograph. And, you know, just somebody I grew up idolising and wanted to be like, but just an absolute competitor. Just played her butt off every game. And, you know, so good to watch.
Can I just say it's intriguing when you say that, because mine was Steve Carfino growing up.
Yeah. Right.
So, and I remember, you know, how you saying, like, but then you become great friends with them. And I did commentary with Steve, and it's just so weird that an idol then becomes just a mate, you know. Yeah. So it's an amazing feeling, isn't it? I know exactly what you mean. Look, I'll finish this off. Sandy Brondello.
Absolute pro. I think when I played with her, she was one of the most positive people to play with. And beautiful jump shot. Absolutely beautiful jump shot. No, but I don't think anyone's had a jump shot like her.
No, mid-range, just bang, bang, bang. Yep. Yeah, loved it. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. WNBL starts this week, Wednesday. You guys have got the first game. You're in Adelaide to play the Lightning, as in Melbourne Boomers. Who do you think, Christy, just sort of looking at it from the outside and what you know from the preseason, who do you think the main threats are for the championship?
Oh, I think definitely Townsville's up there. I mean, with the way they've recruited, I think they're definitely up there, have so much scoring power. It'll be interesting to see if they have the same chemistry as they had last year, because I believe that was one of the reasons why they won it. It was for the chemistry that they had. So they're definitely up there. Of course, you can't go past Sydney with Kayla, Tess and Nicholson, and then all the players that they have around them. They go deep on their bench. Hopefully we're
with
there.
Guy, like, Malloy too.
It's been around for a long time. And he's coached some of those girls before. So he knows what to expect. And Kayla's just come off a WNBA championship, so she's probably on a bit of a high. So, but I think hopefully we'll be up there. I think we've got a great group that we've put together. And I think the biggest thing with us is we have great personalities. And we have a lot of flexibility with the group that we've put together. So, and we go deep as well. Definitely the Flyers. You can't go past the Flyers. I mean, I know a lot of their players left last year, and I didn't know how good they would be this year. We played them in a practice match a couple of weeks ago, and I think they're stacked again. You know, like, they go deep. They're huge. I think they would have to be probably the biggest team. Like, they can sub a 6'5 out and put a 6'5 and a 6'4 in. So they are huge. But you know what? I think, like, I haven't mentioned any of the other teams, but I honestly believe this year that any team can win on any given day. I really do. Like, I think a lot of teams have gotten themselves better. I think Adelaide's going to be real tough. What I saw in preseason, geez, they can shoot the crap out of the ball. So I think they're going to be really good too, but I think anyone could beat anyone on any given day, but it'll be interesting to see what happens at the business end of the season.
I'm interested to hear Christy Wallace. Obviously, you would have a lot to do with her. Where's she at?
So right now, so she's still coming back from a meniscus. She did it in the WNBA. She tore a meniscus.
Yeah, with Dallas, wasn't it, in September?
Yeah, so she's with Indiana this season. She was with Indiana. So. So she, right now, I think she had her op at the end of September, but I think they're being cautious with her and they don't want to bring her back until probably start of December. So we'll probably miss her for about five games. And also we're missing Mon Conti. So she's still with the AFLW. So we still don't have our full group on the four. But we knew that Mon Conti would be with AFLW, but the Wally situation has really hurt us a lot, I think, not having her on the floor. But injuries are a part of the game and you just got to deal with it. But I spoke to her today while she was at training and I said, "How are you going?" She goes, "Oh, it's a little bit swollen today." But she, as I would probably be in the same situation, you'd try and push it as quick as you can, but sometimes that can hurt you as well. So hopefully we'll have her back. Like, I would love to say we'd have her back training somewhere in November, maybe towards the end of November, and then back on playing probably at the start of December or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny. Anytime I'm flicking around on the TV and I see the AFLW in Richmond playing, I cross my fingers that Richmond lose, because I figure the sooner they're out of the finals contention, the sooner you get Monty Conti.
Just a quick one. I think we think the same, but we don't say that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Bendigo, you had a look at them the other day. What do they look like?
I was not there because I was at the 30-day reunion. And I think the biggest thing is they kept their core together. And then bringing back Kelly Wilson makes a big difference to that group, because I'm a big believer you can never go past experience, as long as they're still playing well. And I think with Kelly, she's been around a long time now.
Yep.
She understands the game so well and knows when to make the right pass, when to slow it down and really be that leader for them. And then they still don't have Kelsey Griffin on the floor yet. And I don't think what I read in the Bendigo paper, she's still out for another probably 3 or 4 weeks. So she's got a hamstring injury. So, but once again, they'll be tough as well because of the core that they've kept and the way Kennedy is disciplined with them. And that's what I mean. Like, I can pick a top four and put us in there, but like I said, anyone could beat anyone on any given day.
Okay.
Christy, we could keep going. Like, you are just an absolute guru and we love it, but we are time swept and you have given up your time and we really appreciate it. You are an icon of our sport. We wish you absolute all the best with your team this year and we hope the Boomers go well. And thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, absolutely.
Thanks for having me, guys.
On the show.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for the laugh.
Now that we can have.
Yeah.
That was refreshing, Body, to hear. Great. I loved the coaching bit, what she was talking about. You know, the fact that it's like, nope, I'm going to coach my way. I love that.
Yeah, she's terrific.
And so she should, yeah.
You know, when we talk about the greatest of all time in terms of point guards for the Opals, you know, there's really Michelle Timms and Christy Harrow that stand out. And there's Jenny Cheeseman, there's Jan Lent. There's a lot of great players prior to that. But I think Timsy is recognised as our greatest athlete as a point guard, but in terms of organizing a team, knowing every offense in and out, knowing who's going well, who needs the ball, that was Christy Harrower. She's the absolute pinnacle as a point guard in my eyes.
Totally agree. Now, Buddy, I want to bring up, there's been a bit of talk here about the WNBL and basketball.
Oh, is that starting soon?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a big article here in Sydney recently, which I know went around Australia, just the fact that it's the most kept secret. You know, you look at the Matildas and we are probably arguably one of the top Australian women's team with all the medals we've won, silvers and Olympics and everything over
real
decades.
Real medals against real countries.
Yeah,
no offense to that other sport.
Yeah, decades of it. And I think it's a real shame. And, you know, like I mentioned about Dallas, by the way, with Christy and I was thinking that to myself, and I was like, God, I know Christy Wallace played in the WNBA, but there's so many teams in there. And I go onto the website to do my research and I get it from the W website saying that she injured herself for the Dallas in September. And of course it's Indiana and I forgot all about it, but it was like, you know, when you're doing your research, you're like, oh, I'll just put that down.
Yep.
Mate, talk to me.
No, it's look, it's ramshackle and it always has been, except there was a period there back in the 90s when they had the Pony sponsorship for a while, and then they had the West Coast sponsorship for a while. And this was a period, I think, when Leanne Grantham was the CEO running the show. You know, they had some money, they could do proper launches. I mean, there was a seasonal launch last Tuesday, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who knows about it, but most people, if you didn't live in the city where it was, presumably Melbourne.
Where was it?
Yeah, presumably Melbourne.
No, you don't know.
So I just think they do a very, very poor job. And that has been really consistent over the last 20 years, unfortunately, because it is the best kept secret. It is, you know, the NBL brags as being the second best league in the world, which is a nonsense. But the WNBL, they can make that claim with a little bit of credibility. They still might be third or fourth, but they're really up there. And you get these elite players coming out. Like we just saw in the championship series, Jackie Young or Bettina Laney. These are girls that played in our WNBL years ago. They're playing off for – or they were playing off for the championship. So this is a good league. And but only the chosen few, the few of us even know about it. That's shocking.
Yeah, no, good point, mate. Good point you make. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that. That was a bit of a different one. We obviously had the NBL Raptors come out. Now this is all about the WNBL, and we just wanted to do its own season launch in a sense. And you know, no one else better than Christy. So to her, thank you so much. Bottomed, lovely to speak to you, my friend, and to everyone else, follow us on socials. And of course, the great articles with my man, BOTINAGY.com. You are a legend, mate. We'll
thank
see you soon.
Appreciate that. I'm really intrigued as to why you asked about Sandy Brondello, why you asked Christy about her, of all the names.
I just wanted to see if she'd say, yeah, that's the one I'm replacing as the Opals coach.